Number one, approval of second amended employment contract, Dr. Woods Seelig. To refresh you all, just let me look. Dr. Seelig's employment contract with the university was extended through June 30, 2010 by the board at its meeting on July 31, 2009. President and Dr. Seelig have negotiated a second amended contract which outlines the terms and conditions. You all have received that for your review. Dr. Seelig's employment as Vice President and Director of Intercollegiate Athletics at the university. I would recommend that that contract be approved. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor, please.
Excuse me, I want to make a motion to amend. My motion to amend the pending motion is to delete section 5.03, arbitration, which is unenforceable in the Commonwealth of Kentucky for an employment contract under clear Kentucky law, and to substitute the following language. The parties to this agreement agree to waive trial by jury for any claim arising out of or relating in any way to this agreement or breach of the agreement. That is my motion.
Page number, Larry?
It's on page 53. And what is that? Section 5.03 is arbitration. And I've said it before, the Kentucky law is very, very clear that under KRS 417.050, it exempts from validity of arbitration agreements employment contracts. This is an employment contract. I don't want to be party. I think Dr. Seelig is a wonderful individual, so I want the contract, but I can't agree to this arbitration provision. So therefore, I made my motion, which accomplishes a similar thing. It takes away the trial by jury and would have a judge decide if there's any controversy. So that's all I've done. Mm-hmm. I haven't made any other change. That's my motion.
Second.
Okay, we have amended motion and a second. Any more discussion on that? Yes, ma'am?
Is a parliamentary question. Now the contract's been amended, can we discuss other parts of this, or only we have to vote on the amendment first and then vote on the main motion?
Vote on the amendment first.
Any discussion is appropriate on the amendment, first of all, and then a vote on that, and then a vote on the motion.
We're voting now on the amendment.
Mm-hmm. Kudos to Larry.
More discussion on the amendment.
Yes. Can we have a comment from the University Council if she has one?
Yes, I'm happy to discuss it outside of the board meeting. I'm not sure I'm telling you. I'm absolutely comfortable with the amendment. I don't know that Dr. Seelig will be comfortable with it.
I'm fine.
The party, are you okay with that?
He's okay with the judge.
As long as you're winning.
Yes, I don't think that would hurt you. I don't think that would hurt.
Any more discussion on that? Okay, we have an amendment. We have a motion made. We have a second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Amendment.
It's on the amendment. It's on the amendment.
Aye.
Okay,
aye.
Amendment has been voted on and passed. Now we have a motion on. I have a motion to recommend that the contract be approved. Do I have a
as amended?
As amended. Right. Now do I have a motion that the contract be approved as amended?
That was already made.
You already have that.
Okay, and we have a second?
If you already had a second.
All right, now is there any discussion?
On the amendment, it'll be worded as you stated.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Now any discussion on the amendment? Yes, ma'am.
Oh, not on the amendment.
No, on the motion.
About
as
on
amended.
The motion. On the motion for the contract.
Right.
Why? I've spoke with President Ransdell before, and I just would like him to reiterate. Why on page 44 is there a bonus for a balanced budget? One of the things that has been pointed out to me by numerous people who are in supervisory positions on this campus is that balancing the budget is part of your job, and nobody gets a bonus for balancing their budget. If you don't do it, you're terminated from your supervisory position. Why? I understand that deficit spending in athletics is a major problem nationwide, but I think there's a serious problem with putting that into a bonus structure where, you know, the board and the president have oversight of this. If someone's not balancing the budget, then maybe we need to look for a new athletic director.
Comment well taken. I would say this. Every year that budget gets balanced in athletics, it's worth money. It's worth money to the university, a great deal.
Oh, and I absolutely...
Let me, none of you were on the board when Wood Seeley was hired. But that was a major point of contention to the board at that time, and I insisted, and the board insisted, that provision be in Wood Seeley's first contract over 10 years ago. Because prior to Wood Seeley, a balanced budget in athletics was rare and, in fact, had not occurred for quite some time. And I don't know the history of prior to my arrival, but we did not have a balanced financial profile in athletics before Wood Seeley was hired. And we've had a balanced budget since day one, since his hiring. And I would rather administer with positive incentive rather than negative implication. In other words, you don't balance a budget, you get fired. I don't know if there's anybody at this university that would get fired for failure to balance a budget. They might get fired for a combination of things, but financial stability is critical, and that was the primary point of contention among faculty over 10 years ago when we had a search for an athletic director.
Oh, and I don't
get the budget balanced, make sure it's balanced. And I insist that incentive be an important part of an athletic director's contract at this university.
I couldn't agree more that I applaud you, and I applauded you at the time as Senate chair when this contract was originally written, that balancing the budget was extremely important. I applauded you for that. I still applaud both of you. I question, however, whether or not this should be part of incentive pay, and I would question your conclusion when I say fired. You might not be fired from your job, but you would be fired from a supervisory position if you ran a deficit in any department on this campus. So I would question.
Well, most departments run a deficit. I mean, most departments don't generate revenue that balances their budget. Most depend on the university to meet their budget. Very few departments generate revenues that offset expenses. Everybody runs a deficit. Not everybody. Most units run a deficit. Now, they may not be. The university budget is measured beginning of the year and the end of the year. Of course they balance. But the athletic department's got to generate revenues to make things balance. Few departments on this campus have that same fiduciary responsibility.
Any other discussion on the contract? Yes, sir?
There's just something I was curious about, why this was included and if this is commonplace in contracts, but it's the facilities clause. We're obviously, you know, we're building up our athletic facilities, and that can be a good thing. But I was just wondering why there were bonuses necessarily included for those. And I guess where I come at from this is, you know, I can total up those numbers, and I can see, you know, that's full tuition for 4 years. Why was that included in this contract? You know,
most of those facilities improvements are outside the university budget. They're with private support or television or ticket sales or other revenues generated by the athletic department. And some have included some base university funding, but most of the facilities are built with revenues generated by the athletic department. And in that world, incentives drive performance. And I didn't invent the rules, but that's the norm in athletic administration.
Any more comments? Any more discussion? If not, we have a motion to approve Dr. Seelig's contract after the amended. We have a second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Nay.
We have the ayes carry. His contract is complete. Okay. The second item on approval of provisions of the 2009-2010 operating budget. Let me get my executive committee approval, transfer, and acceptance of real property.
Todd, are you speaking to this? Who's speaking to this? Debbie?
Yeah, I'm going to make the amendment.
Yeah. Didn't we have any money, I think we just straightened out some boundary lines. County's approved it, and no, we didn't lose anything. We didn't gain anything, and the rock fence is still where it was before. So.
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Thirdly, you have received a copy by email of the football coach's contract, Mr. Willie Tigert. So I recommend approval of athletic employment contract for Mr. Willie Tigert. You have a separate attachment that you all had received, and you got something on that for your review prior to today. Do I have a motion to approve Coach Tigert's contract?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? All those in favor? Or any discussion, by the way?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend this contract.
I thought you were going to miss this one.
By deleting in Section 5.08 arbitration and substituting that the parties to this agreement agree to waive trial by jury for any claim arising out of or relating in any way to this agreement or breach of the agreement.
What would be good for the goose is good for the gander, I guess, would.
Chairman.
We got second. All those in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Now all those, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, is there some way we can change the language of this going forward?
In the future. I think so. With the University Council, I think, has got the
after we agree,
the message.
After the two of you agree.
Well, she's going to talk with you after the meeting, I think, Larry. We have a...
if I could just...
Yes.
There you go.
issue, but our agreement, and the way we've always negotiated this with coaches, which coaches have agreed to and lawyers have agreed to, is that we prefer, our hope is, to arbitrate this and not be in court, which is costly and time-consuming and subject to all the publicity that goes along with that. And Mr. Zelke and I'm happy for the amendment for dinner. I don't know that Coach Tagger will agree to it. We'll go back to him. But that was the basis for it. And lawyers, that's why there are so many of us, because we don't agree on a lot of things. and if it's the board's wish going forward, then we will do that. But it's always my desire to resolve disputes outside
I agree with that.
My desire is also. In fact, we've not had any litigation from the athletic department that I know of, and we've just gone through a change of a football coach, and I'm not aware of any court actions. All I'm trying to do is, and I take this serious, and I'm like you. But when I know of a law, and as a practicing lawyer, who actively litigates these clauses, I could not in good conscience sit here and approve an arbitration clause that I know from every soul of my body that the Kentucky courts would not enforce it. The law says, and it's in black and white, that arbitration agreements between employers and employees or between their respective parties are exempt. They're invalid in Kentucky.
So how...
How can we...
I'll point out one thing, since we're arguing legal points here. 20 years ago, I routinely drew up prenuptial agreements for people who were getting married in Kentucky when I knew that Kentucky did not recognize those agreements. At some point, the Supreme Court said, oh, you know, we're wrong on that. I think we're going to recognize them.
That was public policy. That was the Gentry v. Gentry case, which I litigated.
This may be a public policy issue in the future. So as you know, Larry and I do not agree, but I am.
That's right.
Rob, you have a comment?
Thank you for your
opinion.
I was just going to say that the fact that the contract would waive trial by jury would mean it obviously would be ultimately decided by a court, but it would not preclude alternative dispute resolution, whether that's arbitration or mediation. It would just be non-binding.
That's
So, I mean, the parties could still seek to resolve the, short of going to court, resolve the issue through alternative dispute resolution. I mean, I understand. I'm not getting in the middle of this. I'm just saying it. it doesn't foreclose alternative dispute resolution.
Well, all of your points are well taken, and I would like to just say one little humorous story. I knew of this attorney that went to this small town, and he was the only attorney there.
Starved to death.
Starved to death. And another attorney came to town, and they both prospered. So you're exactly right, Jim.
I have a comment that is unrelated to arbitration because I have no idea what you all are talking about. But go Tops, and I look forward to seeing Coach Dagger on the sideline in the fall.
Yeah. Very good call.
Right.
Now, we have a motion on the amendment to the contract, and I think we had a second. Is that right?
Yes, we did.
All those in favor of the amended contract, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. We couldn't hardly vote against it after we voted on the thing on Wood there. Now, do I have a motion to approve Coach Tigert's contract as the contract's amended? Do I have a motion for that? Motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? We got us an official football coach.
If he agrees to this, which I'm sure he will.
I'm sure he will.
His boss just did.
It's okay. I think he's got an agent. Wood said he got. What'd you say? He went big town, got big on us, and got an agent or something like that.
Well, the contract provides for compliance with Kentucky law, so we're okay.
Yes, sir. We have a couple information items here. Campaign update, please, Mr. Tom.
Thank you, hold up a minute ago. I'm in back section here with some slides and update. I think it's page 59. And just a quick update on a couple of the numbers of relevance. There's a mistake on this first slide. I apologize for that. The endowment number, it shows reflected 98.8. And at the top it says 101.9. In actuality, that number's been changing quite a bit because we've had some infusion of matching money. And currently, even though at December 31st we were at 101.9, we're currently at 103, which is significant for a couple reasons. We're very close to getting back to the high water mark of the endowment, which is was $104 million. As you know, many endowments across the country have been devastated over the last 2 years, some down as much as 30, 40, even 50% that were highly vested in equities. And so we're not thrilled that we're just getting back to the break-even point of where we were at our high water mark, we're pleased that it's going in the right direction. So that's one change. Also, made a presentation to the Benefits Committee that Patty's a member of yesterday and explained our policy. We are now becoming much more aggressive dollar cost averaging back into the market. We had a significant amount of resources on the sidelines and hope to reap some positive benefits over that. We had a great year last year with an overall return of a little over 20%. Next slide is our campaign total, which you can see is at $156 million or so toward the $200 million campaign. In essence, we're about 6 months ahead of time on that tracking schedule. That's where we projected out to be at the June 30th mark. So, again, we feel good about that in light of a very challenging fundraising environment. We are definitely tracking ahead of schedule, and some of that has to do with a very strong planned giving program and very strong cash flow, which is reflected next. Some of you may have seen the Daily News article yesterday, but we're very proud of the fact that we had a record-breaking 6 months while our cash flow, as you know, was down last year for the first time during Dr. Ransdell's tenure. I'm very pleased with the fact that at the six-month mark, we're at $12.5 million in cash receipts, And again, that's reflect. You can see that growth on the chart. Even in our best year, which prior was 2008 at $11 million, we beat that again. It's attributable to the return of the stock market, as I said in the article yesterday. I think also we have a very loyal alumni base. And Dr. Ransdell's laid out some very ambitious goals in this campaign that people are resonating with. So I think those are the three major factors in making that change on the cash flow. But we're very excited and feel fortunate to be in that position right now. And then finally on President's Circle, we're tracking a little bit ahead of schedule from where we were last year. Our goal this year, Mr. Chairman, is to reach 2,400 in President's Circle members, which would be an all-time high. So we're working hard on that. Those are individuals who give $1,000 or more, or corporations that give $1,000 or more annually. And then finally, I've included a few highlights from the six-month totals. Cash flow up 70%. Major gifts, which are classified as gifts of $10,000 or more, up 147%. And, you know, that was just also reflective of a very tough year last year when a lot of people were pulling back, but also aggressive support that we're asking for in the first 6 months of this year. And as I said earlier, we're about almost $10 million ahead of the position we were tracking on for the benchmark to surpass the $200 million goal. And then a couple of the capital projects, the Orbison Clubhouse, which we're very excited about. They hope to move in February, and we hope to dedicate that at a baseball game this spring, and the Chandler Memorial Chapel, which will be dedicated in May. Basically, the fundraising for the capital project is completed. We're still trying to raise some money for endowment related to the chapel, but that's an ongoing effort. And people continue to kind of come out of the woodwork and expressing interest in that project. So I would be more than glad to answer any questions at this point, Mr. Chairman. But yes, sir.
I would just say, in light of the turbulent times that we've had, I can't tell you how good a job your group has done. I mean, it's amazing what you've done to not be, and to look at what's happened over other colleges and universities in America. Most of them are not in the same position as we are, so you're to be applauded for what you all have done.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it.
I would like to say publicly that I follow endowments around the country very carefully, and thank you for conservatively managing ours, that we are not underwater as many colleges and universities are.
Thank you.
Good job, Tom.
Appreciate that very much. And I will say also that it's very much of a I appreciate that endorsement. It's very much of a team approach. All of the deans, certainly Dr. Ransdell gets tired of hearing that I need more time on a schedule, but he's very involved in this effort. I've got him out and around the country, and that's critical to our success. So it's very, very much of a team effort. But thank you.
Thank you, sir. A great job. Construction progress report. John.
I would initially direct your attention to page, I believe, 64 in your agenda item that has the quick overview, a traditional report for the construction projects of some $105 million work that's in progress at various stages. But in keeping with our practice of trying to keep our reports brief as to 10 minutes, I got 60 slides today on four buildings, so I will move you through them quickly. But the reason I have so many is that I'm only focusing on four buildings where we have brought the building to completion, and there are very four important buildings that we've been talking about for over a year. And also, I'm showing you some shots of where we were a year ago on this day. So I'm showing you where we were a year ago, and I'm showing you where you are today, and I've got four very good, exciting projects that I'd like to profile here. So this thing will... The four projects we're going to talk about are STA Science and Technology Hall, formerly known as College High, formerly known as the Training School. Talk about WKU Owensboro, Preston Health and Activity Center, and Van Meter. 1 year ago, on January 30, we had a Board of Regents meeting, and this is the slide I showed you then of the exterior of that building. Come on. Just to let you see where we were a year ago. Here's a shot taken Monday. This is the exterior of the building taken Monday. You'll see, of course, that we have painted the building to blend in with Cherry Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's quite handsome. I think it really improved the exterior appearance of the building. That's another shot from College Heights Boulevard. This is a shot taken Monday with students in the building, taking classes, walking the corridors. This is a class on Monday of this week. So we went from a year ago of a project that was a long way from completion to we got it done within budget, on schedule, and classes were being conducted in the facility on Monday of this week. Here's an example of some facilities within the building. I got numerous slides. I'm going to click right through them just so that you can see the quality of the finished work that's in the building. This is an example of an office. I believe that's in the Dean's Suite. Blaine was here. That's a faculty office. Break area.
Who built that?
Restrooms.
Who's our contractor?
Our contractor was Able Construction.
Okay.
Okay. This thing's advancing on its own. Are you doing it? Okay, thank you. Owensboro. Is a project that started out, if you recall, in our previous meetings I've shared with you, with a master plan for five possible buildings. So we have a master plan for that site. We have a substantial site. But today I only want to focus on, of course, on what we know we have done, which is building phase one. Phase one, 1 year ago, we were just coming out of the ground in January. Here's a shot from the Board of Regents meeting from January 30. That's the site 1 year ago. We've come a long way in 1 year. If you'll recall, that's the rendering I have shared with you in many, many numerous meetings and discussions. Here is the actual building. I mean, I just like
to
show you the drawing of an architectural rendering before it ever was built and then show you what it looks like to complete it.
Beautiful building.
It's a very handsome building. Davis County built the building. This was a project built for Western by Davis County. Let me get my numbers and statistics here straight. Cost of the building was $6 million, has 26,169 square feet, and this is the first of five buildings for the master plan that you saw. It has 18 classrooms, six IVS rooms, that's interactive video rooms, and those six are spread around amongst, there's like two large, two medium, and two small. So they have a very good blend of opportunities for interactive video rooms, or computer labs. It has a library, a multipurpose room, conference rooms, 19 faculty offices. This is the first of an administrative classroom building. And I too have shots here where this is an interior of the lobby. Real attractive entrance. This is the computer lab I spoke of. Another shot of computer lab. IVS room. This is students in class on Monday of this week. So it too came in on schedule, on budget. Students in classrooms, building with full utilization, and that's a shot from Monday of this week, students in class. This is the reception part of the administration part of the area, a real attractive area. Just wanted you to see some of the quality of the finished levels of the facility. And it has a bookstore. we're real pleased with the success of the bookstore so far. I'm getting very positive reports of its acceptance and use. So WKU Bookstore main campus has a satellite store in that store. We will be serving, just so that you know, KCTCS students across the street with that bookstore. Okay, that's two projects. The third project that's coming to completion is the Preston Health and Activity Center. Here's a shot of it taken standing up in the stadium looking across the street 1 year ago in January. There it is today. So 1 year later, we have the building come in to completion. We got it open during the Christmas break. Here's some of the interior shots that you've not seen. That's an impressive shot to illustrate for you the significance of the cardio and weight area that was added to the building with all that glass. That was the focus of the project. That's the new addition. The building was renovated in terms of its remaining interior spaces in terms of painting and updating restrooms, locker rooms, and so forth. But the preponderance of the additional, I believe it was 14,000 square feet, was this section of the building here. And you can see it's already in use and fully operational. The big guy there pushing the 300-pound bench press, that's me. I'm teasing. Just teasing.
Oh, no.
One 300 pounds,
either. They spent $750,000 on equipment alone for this building in this addition. And it shows this is really state-of-the-art systems and equipment that our students are going to be thrilled to use. It will be a tremendous asset to the campus, quality of life on this campus. And when we take students and prospective parents and students on tours, this facility is going to be a tremendous asset to our campus.
And something to point out along with that is those screens you saw, those are television screens, and you could change the channel and actually, like, while you run, I mean, watch Family Guy or something. Somebody saw me.
You can bring in an iPod or an iPhone and stick it in the machine and watch and listen to any of your stuff that you've got on your iPhone. I mean, they've got it all.
Including lectures from esteemed faculty.
That's exactly that, too.
In his dreams.
The Preston project was a $9.6 million project, including design. And as I explained, we upped the square footage of the building from 112,000 square feet to 128,000 square feet. And I've already briefed you on how the building was improved. Okay. Van Meter. In January 30 of last year, this was the photograph I gave you of where we were with Van Meter then. I mean, the building was completely wide open and in the midst of a complete renovation. Here's the elevation we've been using for the building up until now. I couldn't get the exact angle, but here's the elevation as of Monday of this week of the exterior of the building. One of the exterior shots. Here's an actual shot from Monday of this week. Very striking, handsome building. This is shot earlier. I don't know when you took that with sunshine. You must have come up here on Sunday, Brian. Do this.
We had little patches between the snowstorms.
He's my official photographer. Does good work. Here's the lobby of Van Meter. I mean, that's just gorgeous.
Beautiful, gorgeous.
All of the light fixtures in this facility are original, and they have been taken out and completely refinished. The skylight in the lobby was completely removed and redone. I mean, we've restored this building architecturally correct in terms of its historic significance, maintaining its integrity of the architecture. Here's the rendering I used to share with you at previous meetings. This is a rendering. Here's the real deal. That was taken earlier this week. This is a vantage point looking from the stage to the back of the house. That's all new seating, all new lighting, all new mechanical, electrical, complete renovation, new windows. Four Seasons now have a home. This is the actual shot, not a rendering I've showed you before, but a shot of the Four Seasons in their new home inside the facility.
Better home. Much better home.
This is a vantage point from, what do you call the IV room, the audio-visual room at the very back of the house. Just wanted you to see the finished quality of the corridors, lighting. There's the stage. It's not fully ready yet for use. We have a temporary certificate of occupancy. We have beneficial use of the building. Jeff Younglove has moved in, correct? Are you in?
Last Friday. Yep.
Last Friday. So we are in the building. Now, are we ready for productions? No. We got an audiovisual package that's just being finalized for the building, and that's going to need to be finalized before we want to really go into a production use of the building. The building could be used, but we still got work to do. I think they were telling me yesterday that just the training and the application of the new curtains in the facility is going to require 8 hours of training to operate the curtains in the place. I mean, it's a staggering amount of technology in the building that's going to be helpful. This is a dressing room. There's a green room, a dressing room, another, that's a restroom, women's restroom. I guess I flipped through the 60 slides already, but I wanted you to see that those four projects have reached this point. It's very exciting for us. I'll answer any questions you might have. Something you might want to know is that the seating in the auditorium is going to be 1,106, which includes 360 on the in the balcony and 746 on the main floor. I mean, we've matched up the exterior brick in a way that it's a special brick that was made for us to be able to do this project on the additions. But I'll entertain any questions you might have, and I think I've tried to keep it in my 10-minute limitation.
If you all would like, we can arrange a couple hours at our April meeting to take you through. I would specifically suggest Van Meter and Preston. They both represent distinctly different dimensions of the student experience on this campus. And perhaps you might have interest in seeing the chapel, which we complete then as well. Would you like to take some time at the April meeting to do that?
Yes.
Yes. That'd be good.
Yes.
We'll do it.
We'd be glad to do it. Look forward to it.
Other projects you did mention, the College of Education building is 58% complete. You see on the page, on page 64, the update of all projects currently underway, or nearly completed or currently underway, and that's a pretty good summary for you of our overall construction profile. I understand that this... A few years ago, it would have taken 3 or 4 pages to list these, but the pipeline is not quite as stocked today as it has been in recent years for lots of reasons, mostly dealing with the economic environment in which we're living. But we'll see what this legislative session brings, and we're continuing to raise private money. But raising money, as encouraging as our fundraising report that you heard a moment ago is, raising money for capital projects is a big challenge right now. We're finding a much more inclination for professorships, scholarships, a more traditional support, which are our priorities. The construction profile... For us to be as aggressive the next 10 years as we have the last 10 years will challenge us to. But on the other hand, 10 or 12 years ago, we had no idea how we were going to do a lot of the projects that we've completed in the last half a dozen years. So we'll find ways.
Kevin, you had a question.
I was just curious about when Van Meter might be open, or if there's a grand opening, or what's kind of the status of all that?
Yeah, we will do a few relatively quiet things this spring, but we're going to ease into to that building. We will have, again, some, in fact, I just sent a note to David Lee, who chairs our committee on
cultural enhancement
series, about a possibility of an event in there. Jeff's considering it right now for April. We will have the President's Circle Gala. We'll include some time in Van Meter with some modest performances in May. But the major opening will be at the beginning of the next academic year with a performance. I don't know that I want to get out in front on what performance has been selected, but a major theatrical musical that will test all the systems of the building. And will be a grand production that will have some run in Van Meter in September of 2010. David, is anything more you'd like to say about how we're going to ease into the opening of that building?
Well, this is so much more sophisticated than anything we've had in the past. I mean, we just had a good flashlight for lighting in the past, and it's going to take a while not to learn how to use this system. We got to practice with it a little bit. So. We're going to have a few music department events. We're going to have a cultural enhancement event in there, which is a poetry reading. And we're kind of pointing toward a fairly substantial thing in early May and a spectacular thing at the end of September. And I promise, you will see folks do things on the Van Meter stage in September that you have never seen people do before. So I'll leave it at that for now.
Total seating capacity?
Right at 1,100.
Thank you, John, for that report.
Okay, thank you.
One more thing before we go to lunch. Let's have the legislative update, please.
Well, I will be brief.
Robin?
I think you all have this at your place. Is that right?
Yes.
It's right behind the coach's contract.
As I'm sure all of you are aware, the governor presented his budget a week ago. All of the revenue on that budget was predicated on gaming revenue. That was met with a great deal of skepticism in the General Assembly. The Speaker then asked the Appropriations Committee to begin writing a new budget, and so we have absolutely no idea at this point where we stand on that. There are a number of options being discussed, but so more on that as we progress. I know we don't have another meeting between now and the end of the legislative session. Maybe a committee meeting, but we'll keep you updated through communications from the president. What you have in front of you is basically our legislative priorities, and those are budget and capital projects. The governor's budget did include the science campus, $29 million, the Owensboro Technology Center, which is actually a KCTCS project, but we share in that, and then the agency bond project for Downing University Center for WKU. So depending on, you know, what basis the House works off of, I mean, at least that those projects are in the governor's budget. M&O was not included, and maintenance and operation, that's a main priority for us, I think, trying to get together with legislators to talk about the needs in terms of bare bones budget requirements. We really need maintenance and operation, and the state stabilization funds replacement in the second year. That is a train wreck for us. If that $5.4 million is not replaced, at least obviously we'd like the whole thing, but if that's not replaced, that's a major problem. So that's the legislative, I mean, that's the budget aspect. We are working on some key pieces of legislation. A transfer bill passed out of the House last week that will, I believe, have some changes in it in the Senate, which we are engaged in some discussions on both sides, House and Senate, in that. And then has not yet been produced in terms of a draft piece of legislation, but will be introduced, is a bill that will allow Doctor of Nursing practice at the comprehensive universities. And so that's likely to be sponsored at this time. The agreement is that Senator Ken Winters, the chairman of the Senate Education Committee, will sponsor that bill, and that's something that we'll work very diligently to make sure passes. And at this point, we don't see any opposition to that.
Quick question about that. So the bill that is that you're talking about would allow any comprehensive to get in the game.
Correct.
If passed.
Okay. Correct. And that's really driven by nursing standards, the nurse accreditation and American Association of Nurses. It really, and John's here, or John, did he left? Okay. The issue is that a nurse practitioner currently holds a master's level degree,
right.
But the standard from the accreditation standpoint on nursing is that they need a doctoral degree, a terminal degree. It would not be a PhD level, it would be a doctor of nursing practice.
Right, practice
and,
degree.
So we are, I believe, in pretty good shape in pursuing that. We'll see, but at least initially the conversations we've had have all been very positive.
Three universities where that's relevant right now, WKU, EKU, and NKU.
But the statute would allow any comprehensive. The CPE would still have to approve. All the proposals would go to CPE, and then they would have some basis for approving that. But anyway, those are in the early stages. But that is, in terms of major university higher ed priorities, those are two right there. And so that's really it for the state at this point. We had a very good day yesterday in Frankfort conducting the this year's Teacher Hall of Fame candidates, and had a few meetings. Dr. Ransdell will present on February the 4th to the House Budget Review Subcommittee on Post-Secondary Education and talk about our needs. And then we have a series of meetings scheduled, and I'm very pleased that Rob Wilkie is going to join us for that day. The other thing I would just turn to real quickly, unless there are any questions on the state side. I don't think you have this, but you probably received it at some point. This is just the memo on the federal appropriations projects that we received for 2010. And, you know, that's $7.775 million. That does include the ARS lab construction funds. That money doesn't actually come through our research foundation. That money actually goes to the USDA, but it is targeted, earmarked for a facility here at WKU. I think that probably brings us up to $8 million total in construction funds. So we are, you know, obviously not where we need to be on a $22 million project. All the other news, I mean, that, you know, we're outstanding efforts on our behalf by both Senator McConnell and Congressman Guthrie, who as a freshman legislator in, I mean, quite frankly, the minority in the House has been able to produce quite a bit for us. A wonderful project in biofuels research and some technology equipment for the Owensboro campus. I mean, I'm just highlighting a few things. And I don't know if John probably didn't need to comment, but the transportation funds to help us with buses, replacement buses, from both Senator McConnell and Congressman Guthrie. I mean, those are all very helpful. So anyway, a pretty good year, but I think based on certainly the environment. And that's
great.
It. And we are about to submit project requests for 2011. That's it.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you. Very good.
Take this time now and break for lunch, and we'll take up back about, what, 12?
We'll play by ear, but between 12:15 and 12:30.
Very good.
Lunch is downstairs.
Oh, it is
downstairs.
It is downstairs.
It is downstairs.
Well, we can be in 12:30.
Oh, that's nice.
It's all